All right, let's open our Bibles. We're going back to Genesis chapter 38. We've been in these precious Gentile brides. And last week, we were introduced to this precious sister named Tamar. And thanks be to God, I believe we were soaring around here, and I believe there was still some soaring going on this week, I'm glad to hear. But as I know the Word of God, you know, He says that the half has not been told. And I'm thankful tonight that it even gets better. But that's just how our Lord does, and I'm grateful to God. So let's go on in rejoicing in this precious story. And I'm led of God to go ahead and let's read the whole chapter 38 once again. It says, "And it came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren." Remember this again, just as we start this, and I apologize I didn't say this just a moment ago, but this is so incredible here because we're right in the midst of the story of Joseph. And Joseph's story is many, many chapters, and it's beautiful about his life and the Christ type that you have here. And they had just, in the prior chapter, they had just sold Joseph into slavery. And remember that they weren't going to sell him into slavery, they were going to kill him. And it happened to be his brother Judah that said, "Let's not kill him, let's sell him." Okay, so to be honest with you, if it wasn't for the Lord, it would have better him be dead than what they were going to do with him as a slave anyways. But God had a plan, and we need to see that for our own lives as well too. But it was so sweet because you have this story going on, and such a tremendous story within Joseph that is a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of the most tremendous stories in the whole Word of God. But yet the story stops in chapter 37, and it won't continue until chapter 39, because chapter 38 is dedicated to this bridal type for us that is so absolutely tremendous. And I love how the Lord does that. It's like He stops everything to tell us a little depth that we needed to receive tonight. So what happens here in 38 is it talks about his brother Judah, who is the brother that it was his idea to sell Joseph. And this is where Judah goes and what he does with his life after they sell Joseph into slavery. So let's pick it up again in 38. "And it came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren, and he turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hera. And Judah was there, a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuha. And he took her, and he went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And yet she again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chazeb when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, Go into thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up a seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that that seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. And that thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore the Lord slew him. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, Lest peradventure he die also as his brothers did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shuha, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted. And he went up unto his sheep sharers to Timnath, he and his friend Hera the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goes up to Timnath to share his sheep. And she put her widow's garment off from her and covered herself with a veil. And she wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. And Judah saw her. He thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she says, What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went her way, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, "Where is the harlot that was openly in the wayside?" And they said, "There was no harlot in this place." And he returned to Judah and said, "I can't find her." And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, "Let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her." And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, "Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and has also, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom." And Judah said, "Bring her forth, let's burn her." When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "By the man whose these are, am I with child?" And she said, "Discern, I pray thee, whose are these signet and bracelets and staff?" And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son." And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed, that one put out his hand. And the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, "This came out first." And it came to pass as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth this breach by upon thee?" Therefore his name was called Phares, and afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara. All right. Now last week, so many highlights, but last week we saw a highlight that this sweet lady, Tamar, her name means palm tree. And we rejoice, and by the grace of God, I will continue and ask God to let me increase in that rejoicing. But we listened to the glory of the message of the palm tree. In a sense, we saw that the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon, she's called the palm tree by the king, the lover of her soul. We saw that the palm tree and all of the traits of it give so much of the character of the bride. And I do encourage each and every one, and especially if you didn't get last week's message, go and listen to it. And it wouldn't hurt you to listen to it again. But this lady, Tamar, brothers and sisters, God put a desire in her. And I pray that God put her desire for what is mine to put that in me. Amen? That's what this precious woman exudes, is the passion for what she was promised. The passion for what was promised. And she knew it, and she knew it exactly what was hers. And it didn't matter that there was adversity. It didn't matter that those that were around her that knew of the promise didn't care. It didn't even matter that there were ones that were very close to her that were actually going to try to not let her get it. But there was something about it. It was hers. It was hers. She knew it, and she went in, and she got it. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to see some of the details of the glory here. And I'm talking about the intricate stitches of the masterpiece of this precious story. So here we begin. This precious woman, Tamar, she marries this first husband. His name is Ur. That name means awake. It means awake. So you think here, this woman, this Gentile, this Canaanite, if you will, this woman from a very godless sect of people, is brought into the family of God, into God's people, and she awakens to it. How many of God's precious people come into the family of God and never awaken to really who they are? But this woman did. And that's what the bride always does. She's awakened to it, and she stays awake. there's an alertness. Those that are alive, hallelujah, and remain. As the Word of God says, that we're not to be drunken and sleep in the night. We're not as those of the night. We need to be awake. So here she is. She's awake. And she enters into the family of God and grows to be more awake. And then her next husband, who also dies, his name is Onan. And his name means strong. So isn't this wonderful? Here she is. She comes into the family of God. She awakens. And she grows strong in faith to who she is in the family. And she lays claim to what is hers. It's so vitally important, brothers and sisters, that we grow strong in faith. That we go strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This speaks of the Holy Ghost. This speaks of that growth. So once again, she lays hold of the awakening. She lays hold of strength. Praise God. Now, how did all this occur? How did all this intensify? It all happened through adversity, didn't it? It's not an easy thing when your spouse dies. And especially, it's not an easy thing when your spouse dies when you're kind of an outcast to begin with. When you're really not from the family. We did you a favor. There's a lot of things that were, she was despised. Kind of, you know, you just take your place in here. You're not of us. Well, thanks be to God she wasn't, because that's why God chose her. There was something special about her. I'm going to show you how special you are to me. And we see how this story ended up, amen? But see, what happened is as the trials got hotter, her passion to receive what was hers, only she became more incensed to have it. See, that's another trait of the bride. They never give up. By the grace of God, they continue on. They don't stop at the halfway house. They don't stop when they find adversity or things that aren't pleasing. Sometimes they get insulted. Matter of fact, a lot of times. But they go on. And I thank God for that. What a glowing trait of the bride. She never gives up. You know, on the outside, you would think that everything was against this precious woman. You think that here she has not just one husband that dies, but two. And that was the way that she was going to receive that promise for her and for a child that she would have. And both of those husbands died. You think, oh my goodness, it's all against her. But you can see by what the word of the Lord always is. No, it was only for her good. And matter of fact, it wasn't just for her good, it was for her best. It wasn't going to come through them. It was going to come through the best. It was always going to be Judah. That's who was going to father that child. Judah means praise. The fruit of her womb was going to be nothing but praise. And I thank God for that. What a blessing. It wasn't going to be a close, a one-off, if you will, of the tribal head. It was going to be the head himself. It was going to be Judah. It was going to be praise his name. Her fruit would praise the Lord. It wasn't even just going to be a blessing. But as we see how the story ended up, it was a double portion blessing. Amen. And we've just begun. Praise his name. Now, she has two husbands that die. And now she's come to the realization that her father-in-law has pretty much blown her off. This wasn't going to happen. She's been forgotten. Well, she didn't just sit there in her self-pity, did she? She said, it's time to act. It's time to really go out in faith. It's time to just... It doesn't matter anymore. We're going after it. And God, praise the Lord, I thought, what an opportune time. Here came the sheep share convention, if you will. Yeah, haven't you ever heard of the sheep share convention? Just like the conventions of today, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens at those things. And one of the bad things that kind of happens, the men go and the prostitutes are waiting. Now you think, my goodness, this just looks awful. This looks like it's horrible. This isn't the way that I would choose. But I think it's so perfect, brothers and sisters, because it's just like a David and a Bathsheba. We're going to get to a woman. Her name was Rahab. She was a prostitute. That one who was at Jesus' feet, that precious Mary. Those men said, oh, if you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. And the Lord basically said, I'll tell you what, she can touch me all over. You leave her alone. My, oh my, amen. See, God help us, brothers and sisters. It is just something that I pray he continue to work in our heart, that we be a loving bunch, that we really see the grace of God, to see how he loves his mercy, to see and to know it's really the castaways, it's the ones that are despised. As he even said, just, I've come to save the lost. But the one thing that the ones that he's going to save that are the lost, they know that they're blind. They know they're blind. They know they need to see. Isn't that amazing? I'm so grateful to God. You have to recognize your blindness. You need to recognize you need grace. You need mercy. You need the Lord to give you a vision. And as we said last week, which was so precious to my heart, some people have more romantic stories than others in how they come into bridal truth. It's true. Like we mentioned, Rebecca at the well. I mean, my goodness, that's a Hallmark movie. How exciting and beautiful and lovely. And she was trained up. And then it's like you took that needle across the record and went, let me show you how Tamar came in here. She did what? You mean that was acceptable? That wasn't only acceptable to God, that was well-pleasing. She wanted it. Amen? Aren't you thankful you know that? Amen. Praise God. Isn't that a rejoicing to your heart? To thank the Lord that you know that you? I don't care who you think you are. If you truly are running the race to win him, you know this is you. You know this is you. Praise be to God. And as I mentioned, I've seen some of the most romantic ones that came into the Lord. They're the ones that have fallen away. I'm talking about even sometimes the generational ones that have been in from family to family. Let me tell you something. It's by the blood of the Lamb. And we need to really understand that. And I thank the Lord that, tell you what, you get some hard knocks. You might appreciate and stay in love a little bit more, you know. That's why I do, and you'll hear me say it all the time. Don't get complacent with God. Don't come in here and say, well, I know the bridal truth, and that's it, and I've been ready for the last 10 years. You're nuts. I don't even know what you're talking about. You got to get over yourself, because you better wake up, because those kind of statements, that's an eye to me that's starting to close. You're slumbering. Don't do that. Amen. You don't ever take being in love for granted. You're thankful to be in love. You got somebody who loves you that, I mean, is passionate about you. You better be appreciative, on your toes and thankful. Not that you're on your toes and worried that it's going to go away. This is your Lord and Savior. Praise God. This is this woman. She knew her promise. And her promise isn't even worthy to be compared with what we have. We have a better thing. Amen. And take this passion that she had. So what does she do? She tricks Judah, doesn't she? Isn't that wonderful? And she knows exactly what she's doing. And she didn't sit there and contemplate, well, Lord, should I? Whatever. No, she said, I'm going. Well, you mean that convention's in town? Lord's given me a great idea. Matter of fact, he's given me a calling. Matter of fact, he's given me a divine appointment where I'm going to meet. And I'm going to get my inheritance. Praise the Lord. Know this. This is no accident here. She knows exactly what she's doing. And she knows she's going to lay claim to what is hers. No matter what it takes. She doesn't care how it looks to the self-righteous. God forbid that be any of us. Amen. Now, notice verse 14. I love this. She put her widow's garments off from her and covered her face with a veil. All right? So she removes those garments. She covers her face with a veil. Now, we understand, it's very clear in this section of Scripture, that a veil was often worn by prostitutes. But you know that a veil is also worn by a readied wife? Oh, yes. Do you remember Rebecca as she gets to Isaac? He's running through the field, and what does she do as she lights off that camel? She takes her veil and she covers herself. Now, I want you to think about that, all right? See, to us who get this story, Tamar's veil was a wedding garment to her full inheritance. How many times did we read after that? Three times. They said, there was no harlot here. There never was a harlot there. Do you know who you are to him? Huh? I want to have a testimony to those that love the truth, but I do not care how anybody else sees me. That guy's a nut. What? Does it matter? Oh, it only matters to him. Now, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. It's always what you see in truth. Do you see that? What do you see in truth? And this Tamar was no prostitute. She's the type of the bride for us. And notice where she goes to get it. Timnath. Timnath means portion. She went to the place to get her portion. And when you go to get your portion, I'll tell you what God always does. He'll give you a double. It's amazing what steps of faith do. What do steps of faith do? They lead to more faith. How do we get faith? By the Word of God. Amen? So if we go on in the Word of God and we stay in the Word of God, we'll go into more truth if we stay in the Word of God. Amen? You can't go anywhere else. And if we get more Word, what's going to happen? You're going to have more faith. And if you get more faith, praise the Lord, I'll tell you what, you're really going to believe the Lord. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? It's just amazing how simple this thing really is. Now, do you see this, brothers and sisters? There was only one that would go this way. There was only one that was going to fight this hard. I'm sure that there were others that kind of were in this place and they gave up. They were satisfied to be part of the family, but not Tamar. That wasn't satisfying her at all. She knew it was hers, and she had to have it all. I want it all. Amen? Come on now. She saw how beautiful that inheritance was. She was thankful getting in the family, but that was just the beginning. You thankful for salvation? Oh, yes, you are. But wasn't that just the beginning? When you started to see your inheritance in the Lord, when the Holy Ghost began to open up, praise the Lord, of the gold mine that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens of Christ, as Brother Jerry prayed, as children of God the Father, we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be we suffer together with him, that we may be glorified together with him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. See, you see that. And I want that. Maybe that's why I was thinking about Sweet Herbie this week. You mean the Bible says that? Well, I want that. And bang! It was just like that all the way through for him. Why not for us? That's called faith like a child. You mean my dad said that? Yeah, your dad did. He told you. This is his word. His word is true. Do you believe the word of God is true? Do you believe it's impossible for God to lie? Did he not say this is yours? Amen. Did he not say that you were born in that with that ability? And I'm talking about the godly, genetic, Jesus DNA ability. You are given it all. You're born a king. You're a little Lord of all. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. A little Lord of all. A little king, if you will. He's the Lord thy God, so don't get that confused. But you're born to be a king. You weren't born to be a servant. You serve because you love. You get that? I served my wife because I love her, but I didn't marry her to be her servant. and vice versa. But there isn't anybody more I serve than her because there isn't anybody more I love than her. Isn't that the way it is with Jesus? I'm thankful I get that. Because my service has an end. But there's something about the Lord. I love him so much. I want him to will and do of his good pleasure in me. And I don't worry about what he's going to work through me. I know it'll be his work. And sometimes to some people, they don't get it. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't care really what you like. I want to please him. There's lots of suggestions. But there's only one authority. Know that for your life. Know that for your life. So she was going to have it all. Amen? And we see that without all the sufferings that went with it and the humiliation, she was never going to win it. See, God could have just went, poof, here it is. In the Word of God, it's already done. Do we call those things which be not as though they were? All we need to do is walk in them. Amen? But that's kind of an understatement because we endure hardness as a good soldier. And let me tell you something, a good soldier of God, there's no soldier to be compared with the good soldier of the Lord. Because there's pains of the heart and we suffer in such spiritual ways that man suffering can't compare to that. We're talking suffering together with Jesus Christ. We're talking the joint sufferings with him even as he endured the cross. There's things that he brings in for us to share with him, even in that regard. It's beautiful, but it hurts. And we go on in that. And there's a calling to that. And we see oftentimes in our lives, as we see with this sister, is that, you know, we see this glorious, mighty calling. He gives us this great vision. But then with our natural eyes, we see things happen in our lives that, how could that happen? How could that be? That's not going to get me to the place that I need to be. That's foolishness because he's for you. It's a path of before ordained good works that you just go walk in them. And once again, as we've rejoiced many times in this place, without every heartache, without every mistake, without every hurt, without every disaster that you have experienced in your life, you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. It had to be that perfect, that precise. The one who knows the hairs on your head. Let me tell you something. These precise events of our life so outshadow that. But it kind of gets our attention. Well, if he knows the hair on my head, I think he knows me pretty well. Amen? Praise God. He does know you. He knows your downsetting. He knows your uprising. And he knows your thought afar off. Matter of fact, so far off, we're talking before he set a star in heaven afar off. Praise God. You talk about a patient lover. That's our Lord. So, it's so wonderful. It's so awesome. And she never would have won it without those sufferings. So, let's continue to encourage one another that we'll suffer together with him. Amen? And it's not joyous for the moment, but we also know it's not worthy to be compared. It's not even worthy to be uttered with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I love that for him. Praise God. Now, here we go. What does Judah do? He sees her. And what does he do? He begs her to come into him. Isn't that something? Did you notice that there? And look at back there in verse 16. Judah turns to her, by the way, and he said, "Go to, I pray thee." I pray thee. He's begging her. I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. Have you ever heard the Lord tell you that? He tells you that all the time. He's the one that has his hand at the door, just like the Shulamites right there. You're going to tell him you're not ready? That's how he loves you. He's pleading with you, really. Let me come in. Let me come in and dine and feast. Praise the Lord. She gets it, the Shulamite. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But by the end of the story, my goodness, all he's talking about is how beautiful is the wine from her lips. He wants you. He wants you. He's begging, please let me come in unto you. Come on, get excited about this. Notice verse 17. What does he say to her? I'll give you the pick of the flock. I'll bring that lamb. I pledge it. But she says, I need a pledge. I need a promise till you send it. Do you see how beautiful that is? Praise be to God, brothers and sisters. We got a pledge till the lamb is going to be sent. Do you know that? You've got a pledge. You've got a promise. Oh my goodness, this should get you ready to stand up on your pew right now. And here's your pledge. What does it say? The signet, the bracelet, and the staff. Let's talk about those real quick. What is the signet? It's a ring. Give me the ring. And think of a wedding ring. It's also the seal. I was appreciated a sister. Just there's these things are so deep. There's so many manifold messages in this. This was the sealing of a letter. It had the initials or the name or the brand of that man that it was his. Boom, put it on there. But I'll just be simple because I'm kind of simple. I'll just go with a wedding ring. All right? You're mine. I'm putting it on there. Then the bracelets. I don't think I can ever think about bracelets in the Word of God except for Rebecca. And she was there at the well and she said, oh, yes, I'll go. And bam, here came the bracelet. But that was even before I go. He just knew the heart and started putting them on her. Man, you mean this is all mine? I'm gone. Huh? So he got the ring, got the bracelets. Oh, my. And then the staff. That speaks of the Word of God. Oh, how we have the Word of God. We've got it all. We've got Paul's gospel. This is why we can see these things. This is why these aren't just items here. This is wedding stuff. It's exactly what this is. This is my identity. This is who I am. This is us in Christ and he in us. This guy gave her everything. Everything of mine is yours. Come on. And I mean, he just saw her sitting there. This happened just like that. Kind of like Rebecca at a well, huh? Don't worry, servant. I'll send the one. Remember how that servant said to Abraham, well, what happens if I don't find her? Don't worry. She'll be there. She'll be there. That's how he found you. You'll be there. You know that. You know that. Praise the Lord. I heard the Word of God for many, many years, filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. There was the brother that was with me when I received that infilling. But it wasn't until I was 17 years old that I know the Lord told me. Maybe God said to the Holy Ghost, don't worry, you'll meet him at a parking lot right off of 6th Avenue. He won't get to his car before he starts calling out to me. Oh, oh, oh. Praise the Lord! I had a divine appointment. And it was that definite. And I heard it in my heart. I want to marry you. I want to marry you. Praise God. That's pretty young to say I do, but I did. And he's been dealing with me ever since. He told me when I said, oh, no, I didn't mean it. He said, oh, but I come for those words. I came for those words. I heard him one time, and I'm after you. I ain't leaving. You talk about he that is faithful and true. Oh, I don't believe that. But I abide faithful. I know. And I'm not leaving. Praise God. Now, this is beautiful here. The wedding ring. You think about the crown that he gives us. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen? There it is. He's given that to you. The bracelets, the wedding gifts, the word. Hallelujah. The power and promise to win him. I was thankful to be encouraged. And sometimes that staff, you know, with them sheep, kind of give them a little smacker. Well, we understand what the Word of God is. The Word of God is sweet to the mouth, but it's bitter to the stomach. There's a chastening going all the time. And that staff is it's a gentle staff. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing that hurts more when your heart aches in the Lord, is there? You know what I'm saying? I'd have rather been hit right in the forehead than having that kind of hurt. But that's how the Lord brings it. Because he's dealing with your heart. Now, these are the wedding things. These are the instruments of the proposal. He is smitten. And he gives her everything. Just like what happened with Esther and the king. She was coming in there, you know, to ask for the lives of the people. He looks at her one time and says, it's yours. It's all yours. We'll share this together. You know, it was so sweet because all I could hear was, I'm head over heels in love with you, honey. See, it doesn't make sense, does it? Really think about this here. This guy, in his mind, meets this harlot, has one experience with her, and he gives her everything. He really did. By giving her those three things, he was done. Here, I gave him my house, my phone number, here's my checkbook, here's all of the codes to everything I have. That's what that signet meant. One night. And he's sitting there, it's all yours. And people would say, that is nuts. It makes no sense at all. Just like most Christians say, Jesus and that bridal truth, that doesn't make any sense at all. But to the lover, it makes all the sense, not in the world, but it makes all the sense in heaven. You get it? See, they don't understand this. But you do. Because you received it because you realized how in love he is with you. And you said, my goodness, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with how you love me. You run around and truly you know, I am my beloved's. I'm his. And his desire is toward me. Praise God. Tremendous. Now, this is what has happened by grace to us. We have it all. We have all truth in love in what? In Paul's gospel. He gave us it all. We have it all. His pledge to us, his promise, is Paul's gospel. And only that gospel puts the wedding ring and the bracelets on you. Only that gospel will cause you to know and believe that you have the promise of the bridegroom. Only that gospel gives you the promise that you know the Father someday is going to send the Lamb because the Lamb is smitten. He's in love and he's ravished with you. It's just too much, I'm telling you. I sit there and go, oh my Lord. Now, let's wrap this up. Notice verse 18. And this is so sweet here. What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her and came in unto her. And she what? She conceived by him. So notice, it's after she takes the wedding gift. After she takes the ring. After she takes all of Paul's gospel. Then she becomes fruitful. She was never fruitful till she took the inheritance. Isn't that something? Praise God. That's just like us. When we take the proposal, when we say I do, when we say I will go, then we bear fruit as the palm tree laden with the dates for the husbandman. See, she was always that palm tree, wasn't she? But she had to go all the way for the dates for those fruits to just come out like gangbusters on her. And that's the truth. It's hard for you palm trees walking in here sometimes. You're laden with fruit, I know. But this is what happens when we hear this stuff. Amen? All right. So only when we fall in love, the bridal message of Paul, does the fruit come forth. Now look at verse 21. And I love that. And I mentioned it earlier. It said, there was no harlot in this place. Verse 22. There was no harlot in this place. That's right, because there never was a harlot in that place. And for us, there was always a ready bride in that place, because there was somebody passionate about what her inheritance was. You see that? See, that's what man saw, but not God. God saw that heart. God knew what he was dealing with there, because he knew her heart. And look at verse 26. I love this. You know where it says, as he says there, "You," she said, "hath been more righteous than I." She was more righteous than him. And I think about even Jesus saying, "Greater things than I did shall ye do." A lot in here. Are we that intent like Tamar to win him? And then finally, just to touch just a bit, at the time of travail, at the time of pressing, that's when the double portion came forth. So even through all of her trials, we saw all of it building and building and building. But then it said the travail. Then came the double portion. There's purpose in the pressing that you're going through right now, honeys. Just know it. Encourage one another in it. All the time, amen? Come on. This is like, you know, that double portion is ready to break forth. And it's going to be shown and known to all that I have loved thee. Amen? Brother Hagin's happy. He's ready to go. Praise the Lord. Now, Phares was the great. So we have two sons that came forth. We have Phares and we have Zara. We see that Phares was the one that they thought was coming out second, but no, he popped out first. Well, if you go on in the Word of God, Phares was the great line of Jesus' grandfathers. That's what was so sweet. Remember how we read of Tamar? She's one of the four Old Testament women that are mentioned in Matthew 1, the lineage of Jesus. She's one of the four, this little Tamar. So beautiful here. This nothing Canaanite. This one that was overlooked by all the family. You go sit over there, take your place. Yeah, I'm going to take my place. I'm going to take my place. You watch, I'm going to be take my place. You palm wavers, you just sit right out there and wave. You can have it too. But you're going to get ugly, daughters of Jerusalem. You'll be saying, "Return, return, O Shulamite," someday. Are you that confident in the Lord? I believe you are. That's him. That's grace we're confident in. Amen. I'm passionate about his grace. I'm thankful beyond and confident in his mercy. Amen. Yeah. There's a fellow knows that over there. You kind of wiggle and jiggle and all that. Nah, I ain't letting you go. I ain't going nowhere. Amen, brother. Praise God. Now, here we go. So Phares was declared the rightful heir, and from him descended the official branch of the tribe of Judah and the Davidic royal house. Right out of her womb. Isn't that marvelous? And then, just to touch on this real quick, I think you'll really enjoy this. The scarlet thread that was held by Zara. A lot of people think about that scarlet thread. We're going to hear of another scarlet thread, God willing, next Wednesday. Lady named Rahab. Isn't that amazing? The scarlet thread that came, that was there tied to Tamar, and the scarlet thread that was tied to Rahab. Maybe, what do you think? The grace of God to the Gentile? That blood? Sure, there's many other things, but I love that. See how he used the Gentiles back then to express to us about there'll be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Praise the Lord. So here we go. That scarlet thread, amazing thing, but it's interesting. After three generations recorded in the Word of God, the lineage of Zara disappears. The last person it talks about, and I believe my sweet brother Dean gave us a little message on this. Do you remember Sibbecai? Where is he? Do you remember that one you were talking about? He was in one of your Mighty Men study, I believe, brother. A mighty man of David that defeats the Philistine giant in the Battle of Gob. I love those words. 2 Samuel 21:18. Now, that's where it ends in the Word of God. They have traced this back, and I think this is kind of interesting. The heirs of Zara went on to their trace to the origin of the Trojans. The line of Zara went into Spain. That's where we get the word in the city Zaragoza. Also, the region of Spain. Have you ever heard it called Iberia? Iberia means Hebrew. That was Zara's line that went into Spain and settled there. And then in 1350 BC, those Jews from Zara's line were driven out and they fled to Northern Ireland and Scotland. Yeah. And it's very interesting because the Northern Ireland army, and then even in the Scottish army, the emblem is a red hand. It used to be not just a red hand, it was a hand with a red cord around it. And it was all traced back to Zara that had the red thread in the hand. So there could be quite a few Irishmen and Scottish that have a little Hebrew. There you go. But I thought that was kind of sweet just to think, you know, I got a lot of Irish and a lot of Scotch. Maybe I got a lot of Hebrew. But that's some stuff, is it not? You're a little bit more excited about how the Lord loves you? About how detailed He is in His love to you? God help us to be awake and strengthened as we hear these things. Amen? Because He's bringing out stuff that has been hidden. You know what I'm saying? They're more light upon light. Things that were just down there that by the grace of God He's bringing up. Now He knows we need a second wind. Keep taking it. Don't get complacent. Don't think, well, you know, I sat under this and so and blah and blah. Don't do that. Run. It gets sweeter all the time. Amen? Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise God.